Okay, Chris is our speaker. He's going to speak for 20 minutes, share his experience, strength, and hope on step second half of step 12. Go ahead, Chris. It's all yours.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris, alcoholic addict from Encinitas, California, San Diego area. It's a pleasure to be with you all. Some familiar faces. That's great. Thank you for the privilege of allowing me to share my experience, strength and hope on this work that we do, the Big Book Awakening. It's been such a big part of my life for the last 10 years. I've had the pleasure of being connected to the San Diego BBA community for a really long time. And there's some really, really strong recovery here. And it's through their example, it's through doing the work myself and having an experience with it that I'm able to be here with you and share it with you. And that's wonderful. This idea of having a topic on the second half of step 12, I have to give the credit to Morgan. He is a gentleman that was sponsored by Mark Houston. And he was here in the San Diego area. And I know that he was a big part of the Big Book Awakening getting to Australia. But I heard him speak on this idea one time of practicing these principles in all of our affairs. So what I want to do is read the way we write on page 60, from the original manuscript. It says, step 12, having had a spiritual experience as a result of this course of action, we tried to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics, and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. That's a very powerful statement and directive, because for a while, I thought that carrying the message was to other alcoholics. And really, we need to carry this message everywhere we go, right? Because we have been placed in a unique position of being useful to other people in this way of life, because it also says, and I'm going to refer to a few key parts of this book. My step 12, I am currently taking other people through the work. And every time I go through this book, new things come to light. And on page 60, it says down here, and this was a turning point for me. It said the first requirement, convince any life run on self-will. Any life. It doesn't say an alcoholic on self-will. It doesn't say a food addict, adrenaline addict, what have you. It says any life. That means this work is for human beings, right? This work is going to address the things that we all have in common. The more I do the work, the more people I take through, the more I see we're all the same. And also the more I travel too, because I've just been around the world a little bit. And everywhere I go, I'm finding that people are all the same. We have the same things going on. We're trying to manage life. We're trying to arrange it to make ourselves happy. We're trying to avoid the things we don't want and get more of the things we do want, right? And how that looks is all over the place, as you might know. And so I'm picking up on these little things like this, you know, any life. Okay, good. Then it says, carry this message to others, especially alcoholics. This is telling me that I need to think about what's being said in the second part of this step is practicing these principles in all of our affairs. And so Morgan said, hey, you can get addicted to doing the steps. And I have to agree with him. I've done the Big Book Awakening 4 times. The first 4 years I was in the work. And then I decided one day to start applying what it is I was getting and learning through the Big Book. And so I'm going to share with you what it's been like to apply these principles and to integrate them into different parts of my life. And also as it relates to the work in the Big Book. So I'm going to hopefully put these things together so that you have a better understanding of what it is we're doing. Because I know people personally that have done the steps 20 times. Like, okay, you can do the steps 20 times. But what I've found for me, if I really am trying, let's take the addiction off the table. Let's assume that we're sober and whatever it is that we need sobriety in. what I found, you know, because the first step says admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives had become unmanageable. What I didn't know is when I took away alcohol and all these things, my life became more unmanageable. That was confusing to me. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm sober. Life is supposed to be wonderful. Well, life got harder for me. Then all the noise in the world was amplified. My personal relationships were more problematic. My work was more problematic. All these things. It's like, oh my gosh, they're just popping up everywhere. And so once I get sober, once I get free from the active addiction, then I have to learn how to live life and how to have an experience in recovery that will provide more ease and comfort than drinking or overeating, right? Or whatever it is we got to deal with. If we can't find more ease and comfort, then what the heck are we doing? Like, what's the point in this, right? And so as I've grown more in the work, I've had to look at these things and I realized that I want to be free, really free. It's one thing Mark Houston used to say is, how free do you want to be? You know, there's no problem with what you're doing, but just ask yourself, is this working for me? How well is this working? Is this giving me the freedom that I think I should be having right now? And I got to a point in my own recovery where I've done the steps a number of times. I've taken others through the work and I'm like, what the heck? There's got to be another level. There's got to be something more than this because I'm still not completely free. And it was through this desire to be truly free that I really started looking at what is the book telling me to do? What is in here that I can start to apply to all areas of my life that will start to bring me to a place where I'm living free? And I will say today that I'm pretty free. Who knows what all the way free is, but I've come a long ways. And so I'm going to share some of these things with you. So, some of these principles, and I'm just going to pick out the ones that stood out to me. So I was taking I'm working with a couple guys right now, and we were working with the second half of Bill's story. And every time I go through this, some new things I see, right? And so on the second paragraph down on page 14, it says, this is a description of Bill's spiritual experiences. It says, these were revolutionary and drastic proposals. He's referring to the 12 steps. He's like, holy cow, this is too much for me, right? But it says, but the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. And I got to thinking about that this morning, and I'm like, what if I took this level of acceptance to every challenge that I have, every aversion that I have? Could I come into acceptance with the way my relationship is with my significant other today? Can I just, instead of not being okay with it, what if I just came to a position of neutrality where I'm just like, okay, this is the way it is. There's work to be done here. What if I can just settle into that level of acceptance, whether it's where I'm at in my career, what my kids are doing, what my spouse is doing, what my coworkers are doing, what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, maybe even speaking at this meeting with you all today, right? I could be sitting there going, oh my gosh, I don't know anybody. This is so scary. Like, what am I going to do? What if I just sit there and get into an acceptance? And I started thinking about this because when I really get into acceptance for real, there is a sense of victory. Because I know I can look back on my experience and I can look at all the times that I saw things that were overwhelming. And I was able to just say, okay, here we go. This is going to be an adventure. And I have the courage by taking my higher power with me, going through it. Every time I get through a difficult situation on the backside of it, when I look back, I'm like, oh, that wasn't so bad. That was actually kind of fun. I learned something. You know, there's a gift, there's a lesson, there's something in all of these. Also, in my spiritual practices, I'm really big on journaling. I think it's so important to reflect on our experience, because I have taken life, this thing outside of me, and it's just an experiment. All of it is. That's exactly how I see it. I get into acceptance. It's like, okay, this is a challenge I have to go through. I have a business. I have employees. A year ago, a former employee tried to sue me for wrongful termination. That was a scary thing. This is someone that I had mentored and personally taken under my wing and tried to get them to learn these things, right, that I was teaching. Didn't work out. And then now it's directed at me trying to take money. All these things were scary. But what I got, it really is to acceptance. Okay, this is happening right now. There has to be something here for me to learn. And I took that and surrendered into it. Because on the other side, if you look directly across the book on page 15, Bill says, my wife and I abandon ourselves with enthusiasm. The context for him was to helping others. But I'm looking at it like, if I'm going to apply all this stuff and practice these principles in all my affairs, if someone's trying to sue me, can I get into acceptance? And then can I abandon myself with enthusiasm to what's going to happen next? And what happened next was I took this opportunity to pray for that person every single day. This went on for 6 months. I prayed for her for every single day, for her well-being, for her peace, for her happiness, so she could feel okay and feel whole. I also learned that there were things in my business that I need to tighten up. So part of what we're doing here in life, too, is we're tending to the things that our higher power, God, whatever you want to call it, the universe, has given us to manage and to tend to, right? That could be our physical body, tending to our health, right? Tending to our business, tending to our families, tending to our homes. So I'm taking these ideas of enthusiasm, surrender, acceptance, and I'm applying them to all these different areas of my life. And after this situation with this employee had gone through, we were able to settle. It ended up being no big deal. And the one thing I got was priceless. I learned what it was really like to love someone unconditionally. Someone that was trying to get me, right? For me, that was another level of learning to trust God, learning to trust that all these things that are placed in front of me are happening for me. Each moment is tailor-made specifically for me to learn, to grow, and to get closer to a higher power. And to take all these things I've learned and integrate them and apply them and make them a part of who I am. That was a really powerful experience. And just want to make sure I'm getting all this stuff here. One of the other things that I think is super important is awareness. Awareness has come from me being present to acceptance. So when I see something coming, it's like, okay, here it is. And it could be even illness. How many times do we, you know, start to feel like we're getting a cold and we run to the pharmacy and get a bunch of medicine? And, you know, we're just trying to push all these things away. What I'm suggesting here is instead of pushing things away, is to just allow them to come to us, acknowledge them, get into some acceptance. And then what I've found is it increases my awareness of what's going on around me. And as my awareness increases, my options and my ability to choose now becomes an option. Because before, when I was just reacting to life in like more kind of a survival mode, everything that would come to me, I would either push it away or I would react or there was no choice at all. And now that I see that if I can just relax into these things and let them come, surrender. And it gets to, let's go to page, let's go to page 80. Yeah, 84 through 88. Right here, bottom of page 86. This is something that I have had to apply like crazy. And it says, in thinking about my day, we may face indecision. So it's telling us that throughout the day, there are going to be things coming to us that we're not going to know what to do with. 5 minutes. See, I said this would happen. I have a lot more to get to in 5 minutes. So I'm taking these things, like it says, I may not be able to determine which course to take. Yeah. Does that ever happen? It happens to me a lot. So what does it say to do? I ask God for inspiration. So the cool thing is no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, I can close my eyes. I can go within and I can take a mental breath. I can connect with my breath. I can acknowledge, have awareness that there's a power greater than me. That in my third step, I said, hey, higher power, yeah, you can have all of it, right? So it's you now. So it says I have a new employer, so I'm going to check in. I just check in. And then I ask God for an inspiration, so an intuitive thought or decision, right? I'm going beyond my mind. I'm allowing a power that's more than my ability to conceptualize, more than my ability to figure things out. And I'm allowing inspiration to flow into me. And then it says, relax and take it easy. This is exactly what I learned through this experience last year or 2 years ago. This is a little bit ago. Is that these things in life come in waves. It's like the first wave comes. It's like, oh, holy smokes, here it is. And then it subsides. And then another one comes. It's just like being at the beach. And so when these waves are coming, I practice working with it in this way and then relax and take it easy. Sending an email, having a difficult conversation. First, I get clear, right? Take an inventory. What's going on? Take it to prayer and meditation. Ask for intuition. Ask for guidance. Put some space. Relax and take it easy doesn't mean give up. It means give it some space. Wait for the next indicated step, right? The next course of action. And then it tells us if we keep trying this for a while, the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of our mind. This is true. This is 100% true in my experience. The more I live this way, the more the intuition, the more the correct action becomes apparent to me. Because one, I'm not stuck in fear. I'm not spinning. I'm not in my mind. I'm outside of that. And the mind is a beautiful and amazing and incredible tool, but it has its limitations, right? I start to let the mind do what the mind is supposed to do and let a power greater than myself do what it's supposed to do. And I use both of them. And it's through using both of them that I start to have a different experience in life. And I love on step 10 on page 85, where it says, if we keep in fit spiritual condition, we become placed in a position of neutrality. That's a wonderful place to be. And that's where I'm looking in my life, where I want to be. Am I in a position of neutrality? Because when I'm there, I can see everything on my outside of me externally is just life. It's just what life does. The job comes, the money goes, this happens, people born, people die, people move away. Life is transient in nature, and I'm able to go through it. Right? Because back in Bill's story, and I got to wrap up, I know, here in just a second. On page 15, it says, or bottom of 14, if an alcoholic, us, a human, fails to perfect and enlarge their spiritual life through work, what's work? Spiritual practice, taking people through the steps, connecting to our higher power, prayer and meditation, self-sacrifice. What is that? That's allowing putting the ego aside. That's set aside everything we think we know, right? We help others, we're carrying the message, right? If we don't do that, it says we cannot survive the certain trials and low spots ahead, because this is the way life goes. We're up here, we're down here, we're up here. But I can tell you, there can be equanimity. There can be a place where you're right here in the middle. When things are great, we can be happy. We can experience gratitude. When things are bad, we can still be joyful. Happiness, in my experience, is transient, but joy can be that steady part of who we are that experiences all of life. And that's what has really made life beautiful to me. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that my life is amazing. Everything goes perfectly, because it doesn't. I don't need it to. I just need to be present to it. And I just take a more impersonal look at the things that come to me. This is for my spiritual growth. And when I see it that way, it can be an adventure. I can just go to life open. Who knows where it's going? But I will tell you, I do know it's going towards growth. It's going towards being more connected. It's going to being more kind, compassionate, loving, and of real service. Not service where I just want people to see me doing stuff so I feel great about myself. Real service, because now I have an experience that I can share with others. And I don't have to share from my mind. I can share from my heart. And I'll wrap it up there. Everything I've learned about leadership, about management, about just caring and tending to all the things in my life really are here in this book. And I encourage you to keep going through it, because it'll come to life. And each time you go through it, something new will be revealed, because it's meeting you where you are today. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. That was great. Let me stop the recording. Hang on a second here.